The notion that a radical is one who hates his country is naive and usually idiotic. He is more likely one who likes his country more than the rest of us, and is thus more disturbed than the rest of us when he sees it debauched. He is not a citizen turning to crime. He is a good citizen driven to despair. And this week's opening quote comes from Henry Louis Mencken. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, here we are at the end of 2014, folks. Christmas 2014, a new year just over the horizon. And what a year it's shaping up to be. With the amount of new legislation we've seen brought in around the world, the amount of global upheaval we've seen in the last 12 months, ISIS, ISIL, the latest Mossad invention, the destabilization of Syria, the absolute obliteration of Gaza Strip. It has certainly been a year to remember, and I think 2015 is shaping up to be another year to remember. I think in 2015 we're going to see our governments really attempt to roll out their police state. We've seen false flags in almost every country involved in creating this global police state now, in Australia, Canada, America, England. We've seen government stage terror attacks in all of these places, or at least small, insignificant events that the governments have blown out of proportion to turn them into major events, such as we saw here in Australia when we saw Sydney airspace shut down because of a gunman in a chocolate shop. And if people can't see what a complete overreaction that was, then I don't know what it will take to wake them up. And there are still so many unanswered questions surrounding the event in Sydney, the so-called siege, that it literally boggles the mind. And so hopefully that is helping wake a few people up as well. It certainly should be. I mean, just a change in the Australian police should be enough to wake people up, really. I was out at the shopping centre on Christmas Eve, actually, just at a local shopping centre, and there, wandering around the shopping centre, is this police officer dressed in black Kevlar with a handgun halfway down his right leg in the fast draw position, a cap and a vest and walkie-talkies and batons and guns and tasers all over him. He looked like a Gestapo officer in black standing in the middle of the shopping centre. He looked like a moron from a big boys club. It was absolutely ridiculous. He absolutely looked laughable. But it also shows you what they're putting in the face of people these days. And this is just a cop in a shopping center. We're going to put this black Kevlar militarized terrorist police officer on duty in a shopping center to protect you because there was a gunman in a chocolate shop in Sydney. It's just unbelievable, folks. And the last thing you feel when you're in the presence of such people is safe. You feel like you're standing in the company of a brain-dead terrorist. That's the way it feels. And that is what we're seeing in our local shopping centres now. And this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty soon they'll be in pairs or they'll be in triplicate and they'll be putting little checkpoints at the start of the shopping centre to give everyone a ID check and a retinal scan as they walk in to buy their food. It wouldn't surprise me if that's where it's going, folks. And pretty soon, if you don't have a microchip, then you won't even be able to do any shopping. And this is, of course, the way it's going and the way it will go unless the people out there choose to stand up, stand in their power and speak their truth and change the direction the world is going now while they still have a chance. But those who are locked in fear and they are terrified of where the system's going to the degree that they are too afraid to stand up and speak out about it are actually the ones who are allowing their worst fears to be created and to be realized due to their cowardice and their inaction and their choice to remain silent now while they still have the opportunity to speak out. All of these people who are cowering in fear are the ones who are allowing this police state to be built and for their worst fears to be realized. And I don't know why people are so locked into their own mind that they cannot see what they are creating via their own inaction. And that's the thing, folks. I mean, you can blame the politicians for the direction that we're going all you like. But what you have to realize is that the politicians are criminals. They're psychopaths. And they will do whatever they can get away with doing. And the reason they're getting away with it is because you're letting them get away with it because you're not saying anything about it. That's the problem. So you can blame them all you like, but really, if we want to find the culprits and find the ones who really are to blame for the direction the world is going, then all we really need do is look in the mirror. And look, admittedly, people have been programmed to be the way they are through an insidious education system and an insidious social system as well, whereby people are always policing their own thoughts. They're often too scared to think outside of the box because of peer group pressure. People are often worried about what the neighbours or their friends may think about them if they were to offer their real opinion on a topic. But still, the blame lies with the people because life gets to a certain point where you begin to question things. You begin to think a little bit outside of the box and you begin to see that there actually is something terribly wrong with the world. And at that point, it's your choice as to whether to ignore that information and keep your head down or whether to actually stand up and do the right thing and make a difference. And that's the thing, folks. I mean, people are dumbed down by fluoride, they're dumbed down by television, and they are believing what they're told, but very often many of these people still do question things inside. They just don't ever voice their questions. And that's the problem. Because if people were to stand up and voice their questions, we would be able to heal things very quickly. You know, I've been coming onto the air now, this is the eighth year we're just entering into now. When we enter 2015, it will be the beginning of the eighth year of Surviving the Matrix. And I've been basically saying the same thing for the last 8 years, that if we can learn to respect each other and have strong, empowered communities, then the government really has nowhere to go, because we can have a strong communal response to any legislation that they're bringing in. And everything about this social system is designed to divide us, to prevent us from ever having this strong communal response. And we can see this. We can see what the control mechanisms are. We can see the tools that are used to keep us divided. And we can see the strength that we would have if we were to unite as one respectful community. And yet we don't do it. We continue to run on the treadmill. We continue to judge each other by artificial parameters that have been provided for us by somebody else. We continue to live somebody else's version of reality, and we continue to remain in fear of a system that we are allowing to become everything we have always dreaded, simply due to our failure to stand up and pay attention and to simply call a spade a spade. You know, it's quite amazing, really. You know, so many people don't like what the government does. They don't like the legislation that the government introduces. And yet they will just stand there and go, oh, well, that's terrible that you're doing that. And then they'll turn to their friends and they'll complain about it. And then they just go home grumpy and they continue to complain about it. But they never actually stand up and confront the politicians and ask them to explain why they are placing the country in such a state of hardship, why they are introducing such legislation. They never ask the politicians to explain their actions because they perceive these politicians to be some type of demigods or something. They don't understand that the politicians actually work for us and that their job is not to make rules, but to obey rules. That's the thing. They were never supposed to be people who controlled society. They were simply supposed to be people who manage our infrastructure for us so that our societies function smoothly and correctly. But instead, they've supported this system of debt slavery, and they've managed to get people running so fast on the treadmill that now they simply don't have time to pay attention and notice what's going on in the world around them. They've maneuvered society into a position where we don't really communicate with each other anymore. We get all of our information from the television set. And the television set simply tells people what the government wants them to believe. The television set has constructed the entire fake war on terror and got people to believe it. The reason people are in fear of this terrible Muslim menace, which is completely and utterly non-existent, is because the television has convinced them that it's real. And you think about it, folks, you get a few Mossad agents running around, killing a few people, you get a bit of it on video, you can blow it out of proportion and make it look like anything you want to, and then you just sell it to the people as this terrible ISIS, ISIL Muslim threat, which is coming to get everybody in every country on earth, when the reality is that the entire thing is a fabrication of government intelligence agencies and the mainstream media. There is no Muslim menace. It's simply a mechanism being used to lock down Western society under the pretext of keeping them safe. It's simply a fabricated menace so that the people of the world have a common enemy with which to unite against. And if you look at history, folks, you find this is standard operating procedure for the construction of any workable dictatorship. The problem is that the workable dictatorship we are seeing is global and will encompass all Western countries. And again, folks, this is being sold to the people of the West via their television sets and the talking heads on TV who are pushing the government and corporate and global police state agenda, when the entire thing is a fabrication. And that's one of the biggest problems we face, folks, really, is television and the lies that people are fed by the television and the war criminals and psychopaths who man the television stations. All of these talking heads on TV, folks, these people have an opportunity to tell you the right thing, even if it's going to cost them their job. I mean, would you prefer to keep your job and allow millions to be slaughtered because of the lies you're telling people? Or would you simply stand up and say the right thing, regardless of the consequences? I know what I'd do, folks. I would stand up and say the right thing. If I had the ability and the platform to do so, such as we see on national television, any one of these live shows, any one of these reporters could actually stand up and tell the truth. But they don't do so. And they don't do so because they're criminals. And they're not only criminals, they're war criminals who are supporting the corruption of the system. They are as much to blame for our global situation as the politicians are, and in many ways even more so, because it is these people who have programmed the vast majority of the general population. And that's the problem, folks. That's a lot of why people don't stand up. That's a lot of why people remain in the constant state of fear that they're in, is because of the lies the mainstream media peddles to them every single day. And discovering a workable method by which to deprogram people from the influence of their televisions is a real task at hand, folks. That's something that we need to do, and it's one of the most difficult problems we have to overcome. It really is quite remarkable, folks, and I'm sure you have experienced it yourself when you actually present the truth to someone and they look at you like you've got two heads. They look at you like there's something severely wrong with you. And they just simply cannot understand how you could have such what they perceive to be a strange worldview. And this is because these people have usually never traveled anywhere, or if they have traveled, it's been to the designated tourist destinations, and they've never actually seen the real world, and their entire worldview is based on the opinion that's presented to them by the television and is instilled into them via the television. That's the thing. Most people don't think their own thoughts about the world. They think the thoughts that the television has told them they think. And when you present them with the truth, they find it just absolutely confronting to their senses. They just can't understand why someone would think that way. Even while the Sydney siege was happening, there were so many of the general public that were simply lapping it up. Every single lie the media told them, they just lapped it up. They never looked at the many questions that are left surrounding this siege. I mean, here's the gunman in the chocolate shop asking for an ISIL flag, for God's sake. The terrorist forgot to bring his flag. And when he asked for one, the police got him one. I mean, how did they do that, folks? What did they do? Did they go to the flag shop and say, I'd like to buy an ISIL flag, please? Or do they just happen to have one in the squad car? What were they doing with an ISIL flag? What even is an ISIL flag? How do you make one that quickly and get it to this guy in the chocolate shop? This guy who was denounced by the entire Muslim community back in 2007 as being a complete idiot. This guy who the media themselves named as a fake Muslim and yet in the same breath accused of being an Islamic extremist. Why, when the police went into the coffee shop, was there so much of what appeared to be or what sounded like machine gun fire? Why were so many rounds fired? And whose bullets was it that killed the two hostages? Why are neither hostages allowed to speak to the media? Why have all of them had gag orders placed on them? Why was there silence after the barrage of machine gun fire and there were bodies being carried out, and then 2 minutes later, while there were still people being helped out of the cafe, there was another barrage of machine gun fire? A full 2 minutes later. Who was being shot then? Why have none of the questions surrounding the event been answered by the media? Why are none of the people involved able to speak about it? There are so many questions surrounding the event that have yet to be answered, folks, and there's also the very interesting point that an anti-terrorist drill was staged in exactly the same place 12 months before, almost to the day. And of course we have our sociopathic little cretin of a Prime Minister ready to roll out his police state legislation as a response virtually immediately. Hegelian dialectic, ladies and gentlemen. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. This is how they do it all the time. And what we've just seen in Sydney is a classic example. You know, the problem is that many people can see the police state being built around them, and many people don't like the corruption of the current government, but their response to the situation is usually a violent response or something that involves protests in the street or a big gathering at Parliament House and speeches or whatever. They can't see that there is actually a passive, peaceful response that can be initiated against this entire system, which will cause the entire system to shift into a different direction. And that is an empowered community. And look, folks, when I say this, I'm not saying go out and build alternate communities. I'm saying empower the community that you live in. We need to get back to having town meetings. We need to get back to having public gatherings where we actually discuss things and discuss the situation and get to know each other and get to know our neighbours. That's another thing that television has done. It's produced a society that believes it's more informed because it's a society that believes it has access to global information via the television, that these people are actually out there collecting information from all over the world and giving us the stuff that affects us and telling us what's really going on. And all of these people believe they're informed because they read the right books, they get all the newspapers, they watch the television, they watch all the news programs, and they get all of this information, and they actually believe they're informed now. But they're not, because they're not informed on what's happening on the ground in their local community, because they don't know the people around them. All they really do is judge the people around them by what they look like, by the way they dress, by what neighbourhood or suburb they live in, by how big their front door is and what type of car they drive, what sort of jewellery they're able to wear. All of these ridiculous trappings and all these ridiculous things we've been trained to judge each other by. We've created this incredibly tiered society where it's a hierarchical tiered system based on your perceived social or economic value, all of which are fictions, and it's served to divide the community. So even when we do have communal meetings and discuss things with each other, we really only listen to what people in our social class say. We're not really interested in what the people of the lower social classes say, and very often we're not interested in what the people of the higher social classes say, because what would they know? They've got it easy. All of these attitudes that we've been programmed to have with each other, instead of just viewing each other as people. People that are all in the same boat, all in the same situation, all in a ship that is out of control, that is heading for a cliff. And it's heading for a situation where we're all going to be locked down, regardless of what our social standing or economic value may be. We're all heading for the same position. And even those of high economic standing, who may be the CEOs of companies or directors of companies, aren't safe from this system, because if they're not part of that ruling elite, that ruling bloodline, then they're going to be locked down with everybody else. And in fact, their rich hoity-toity attitude that they've had, that they've been trained to have in many cases for most of their lives, is very much what has contributed to the division in the society and has allowed the situation to develop into the state that we're now at, where we're really looking at the brick wall being built in front of us right now. As Frank Zappa once said, when the illusion of freedom becomes too expensive to maintain, they'll pull down the curtains and you'll see the brick wall at the back of the theatre. And that's what's happening. People are now beginning to see the brick wall at the back of the theatre. They're beginning to realise that all of this whole Western society has been designed to distract the population with these frivolous behaviour and frivolous undertakings and the collection of meaningless trinkets, all of which break and fall apart and stuff that we don't need at all. And it's allowed us to believe that we're free and we've got all of this stuff to play with and all of these freedoms and all of this great society. But really all it's done is serve to disempower us and allow our governments to go out and stomp on the rest of the world. And now that they've done it, they've removed all of the life skills and all of the will to complain from the people of their own societies. They're able to lock them down as well. And it will be game, set, and match, checkmate. They got the whole world. And they did it because the people of Western societies have been so distracted by these frivolous, meaningless undertakings that we've been provided with by the system, and all of these ridiculous social standings that we use to judge ourselves by, and all of these ridiculous fashions and trappings, and all this rubbish that we're given that we believe is real. All of this stuff has served to divide us and distract us and allow the world to become what it is currently degrading into. And we really have one last chance to pay attention before we get locked down completely, and that chance has come to us right now. But it's a chance that's not going to remain there for too much longer if we don't pay attention. You know, as I've often said, folks, humanity is currently on the edge of a knife. And I've done everything I can to provide a positive, opportunistic outlook to this situation. I've wanted people to see that all of these problems are opportunities for us. All of these problems are opportunities for freedom. Just the fact that we can see the system for what it is now is an opportunity for us to heal the system. And I've said that I really believe it's going to happen. And I still do believe it will happen. Maybe it will take till we get to the last moment before it will happen. But it all depends on you. It all depends on the people out there getting involved. That's the thing. I can be as positive as I want, but if people are going to sit there and continually wait for something to happen without their participation, then unfortunately what's going to happen is we're going to fall off on the wrong edge of the knife, and we're going to end up locked down into a police state. But if people stand up and pay attention now and simply point out the obvious to people and ask the right questions to government in a passive, respectful, eloquent, non-violent manner, then we can change things. But if people don't, and people wait for the situation to deteriorate to the point where we get angry activists on the street attempting to physically overthrow the government, then we're going to find ourselves locked down just that much more quickly. And that's what they're pushing for. That's why there are so many austerity measures coming. That's why it's so expensive to live these days, folks. People will notice that perhaps their electricity bill 2 or 3 years ago was $120 for the quarter. Now it will be $500 for the quarter. Things like this. Bills have gone up. It's costing more and more to live within the parameters of this system. And the services that we're being provided with are getting less and less workable. This is creating more and more homeless people, more and more disgruntled people, more and more people in a state of economic hardship. And all the while that this is happening, the people are being removed of more and more rights, more and more of their ability to defend themselves, and the police are being militarized around them. So you can see what's happening, folks. Society is being divided into a two-class system, whereby there is the rulers and there is the working class. And between the rulers and the working class is a militarized police that has been trained to have absolutely zero tolerance to any disrespect for their authority. And that is the reality that exists on one side of the knife edge, folks. On the other side of the edge is a free and empowered society. But that side can only be reached if people choose to participate now. Because if they don't, well, there are other people who are participating. And they're participating actively every single day. And they are people who really don't have mankind's best interests at heart. They are people who desperately want us to fall off the wrong side of the edge. But ultimately, the choice as to which side we will go and to which direction we will take lies with the hearts of the people. The problem is that most people's hearts are controlled by somebody else. Most people's hearts are controlled by the state of fear that they find themselves in due to the machinations of this system. And they don't realize that just one voice can make a difference if you choose to speak up. Because when you do, you inspire people around you to do the same. And before you know it, even those who once ridiculed you will be standing up and speaking with you because they know that it's the right thing to do. And that's the moment that we're in now, folks. That's what history has brought us to. And we have a choice as to which direction we can go. We still have this choice. But it all comes down to the participation of the people. So really, it all comes down to you. And it always has, folks. It's always come down to the individual. Everything that we want to make different in our lives, ultimately it comes down to our own personal choices. And when we put that on the macro, when we look at the world, if we want to see a different world, then that too comes down to our own personal choice. And I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as you might have heard in my voice today, I'm a little bit tired at the moment, folks. It's been rather a big year. I'm quite exhausted from just the activities over the Christmas break here, the amount of people I've been running into, and I've been quite busy the last couple of weeks. Still recovering from meningitis as well. And I'm getting a little tired of constantly fighting against the machinations of this system. They've limited my PayPal accounts. I'm only able to receive donations via a friend's PayPal account at the moment or via direct contributions to my bank account. I'm not able to provide hot links for either. People have to actually do it manually by copying the addresses and going and typing it all in, or at least copying and pasting it in. I've had my YouTube account limited to 15-minute uploads. It's very difficult for me to spread information via social media anymore. Much of what I post is limited in its distribution. And it's even been difficult for me to access my personal email account for the last week or so. I don't even know how many days it's been now. I think it would be a week or 10 days since I've been able to open my personal email account. I'm still able to receive letters via the Crow House, and I'm still able to open other email accounts, but my personal email account, I'm simply not able to open it for the last week to 10 days for some unknown reason. And I've written to Microsoft, I've written to all the links that have been provided for me to get the problem rectified, and here it is about 10 days later and I'm still wanting to access my email. So it kind of gets to you after a while, folks. Constant little things that are done to chip away at your energy levels. And so mine have been a little low at the moment, but I'm sure they will be back up for next week's show. Indeed, they'll have to be back up for next week's show, folks, because next week's show will be in 2015, and 2015 promises to be a big year. I do, of course, intend to launch the Full Circle project early in 2015, around about May or June anyway, and I'm hoping that that is going to effectively create grass fires in the minds of the local community throughout the world so that we can start making some real difference. We've got to start creating ripples, folks, and I think it's got to be done in local communities all around the world, because there can be no leaders in the shift in consciousness that needs to happen. We need to be starting little grass fires in the minds of the community so that there cannot be one particular head of the movement that can be stomped out or snuffed out or anything like that. It's got to be grass fires at a local level in the minds of the community that are going to empower that local community into effective action. That's what we want to do with Full Circle Project, folks. We want to put together mechanisms which can create effective ways of empowering the community into effective action. And effective, of course, is the key word. We have to make a difference in 2015, folks, because otherwise we just might fall off on the wrong side of the knife edge that we are currently walking on. And that would be very terrible if that is the future that we allowed to be created for our children. And the choice comes with us, folks. The choice lies with this current generation as to whether to make a difference or not. And all it really takes to make a difference is for the people of the world to stand up and participate. That's all we need, folks, is audience participation. And that means you. And now is the time, and the time has never been riper, nor has it been more urgent. The thing is, what do people participate in? That's the questions they keep getting asked me. Max, you're always telling us to participate, but what do we participate in? Well, folks, what you participate in is empowering your local community. That's what you should be doing. And just pointing out the obvious to people, I mean, really, folks, I don't know how anybody in their right mind could possibly believe anything that we're being told by our politicians and our media these days. It just defies analysis. It really does. And really, all I've ever done on the radio shows that I've been doing since 2008 is state the obvious, speak in common sense, and just point out the blatant obviousness of what's going on around people to them, and they see it. I mean, I've had an amazing amount of success with these radio shows simply by stating the obvious and viewing things with a common sense, logical perspective. I mean, really, folks, our systems are completely corrupt and our governments are completely and utterly out of control, and all you have to do is add up the numbers, and one makes two, and that's what you get. So really, it's not hard to point out the truth to people. It's just the demeanor you need to adopt when you're doing such things. The problem is that most people present information to their friends and family in an irrational, angry, and paranoid fashion, when really you just need to remain calm and eloquent and speak the truth and state the obvious. And really, it's not a debatable point. I mean, you can point out corruption to people in a very obvious, matter-of-fact type of way, and it becomes so obvious to them that it's really not a debatable point anymore. And that is, I believe, why I have had such an amazing amount of success with this show. And it's not difficult for people to do this on the ground at home. And you've just got to start pushing the envelope with your local authorities and with your local councils. Ask them the right questions in the right way, and do it in front of a large enough amount of people, and you'll make a difference. Because when you say these things in front of people, they listen and they go, well, yeah, that makes sense. And they begin to pull away the veil from their own eyes and view the world from a more realistic perspective. I mean, what I'm saying here, folks, is there are many people that are making a stand against this system. And even if you're going to do it in a manner such as marching down the street and having speeches, what you might find in such a situation is that the police will arrive and start violence the way they always do, and so that could be counterproductive. But if you do get to a position where you can stand up and make a speech in front of people, just state the obvious. Don't pull punches. Don't be politically correct. State the obvious and help empower the community with positive action they can go on with from that point, which must be empowering the community around them at home once they get back to their own neighbourhoods. We have to have a strong communal response, folks. We can't allow the world to keep going in the direction that it's going, and we can't allow our politicians to get away with what they're doing. And the only way we can combat anything is with a strong communal response. And all of the little symptoms that people are finding, I've gone over this so many times, whatever it is that motivates you, whether it's the harvesting of whales or dolphins, or whether it's oil spills or deforestation or GM food or whatever it is that motivates you, when you are addressing the issue, address it from its root cause, which is the financial system itself. That is what is causing all of these problems. The private issuance of currency, the privately run financial system. That is the cause of all of our woes. It is the cause of the financial slavery that prevents people even having time to look at these issues. It causes all the wars. It causes all the deforestation. It causes all of the hardship. All of the scarcity is all due to this privately run financial system. And that is the root cause of the problem. So that's where the attention needs to go in addressing any of the symptoms it creates. And you can just state the obvious to people. I mean, look at the war on terror. I mean, if people can't see how staged this whole war on terror is, then God help humanity. I mean, really, if people actually think this is real, then I don't know what to say. Because I honestly don't know how people cannot see the obviousness of what's going on, and they cannot see how spun the media is and how much they are being lied to by their television sets. And honestly, folks, look at the Muslim world. Look at what we have done to these Arab countries. And ask yourself how these Arab countries could ever possibly come and wage war against the West. They could not possibly do that. They simply don't have the logistical capability of doing so. They don't have the weapons, they don't have the military, they don't have the army, they don't have the navy, the air force, the weapons, the bombs. They don't have anything it would take to be the threat we're being told they are. They're actually peaceful people. These are people who are the most unlikely to ever fight back and to ever have the capability to be able to withstand a Western invasion. But the West just can't go in and bomb these people and wipe them out and take over their countries. It needs to create an excuse to do so. Enter the Muslim extremist and the war on terror. And the entire concept of Muslim extremism was created by the West, was taught to the Mujahideen in the war against Russia. It was all created by the West as well. I mean, the entire thing has been so spun out of control, and people are just buying into it for the most part, and it is a complete and utter fiction. It's unbelievable. Look at it, folks. I mean, how can you possibly perceive the Arab world to be a threat against the West? Look at what the West has got. Look at the damage the West has done to every single country it's touched. Look at Africa as a fine example. Look at what we've done to that entire continent through Western intervention. And look at the Arab world and ask yourself how these people could ever be a threat to you living in the United States or England or anywhere else for that matter. It's ridiculous, folks. There is no Muslim menace. The menace is our governments and the corrupt media that is spinning the party line rather than conducting true journalism and being the watchdog of government, which is what the media is supposed to be. The media is actually supposed to keep the government in line. But this corrupt government has written silly rules on little pieces of paper that have said, oh, by the way, if you speak out against us, Mr. Mainstream Media, then we're going to put you in jail. How the government believes it had the right to do that and why the media actually bought into it without actually reporting on this blackmail and this abuse of office is beyond me, but they did. And the reason they did, I would suggest, is because the media is just so scared and gutless and full of themselves anyway that they dare not rock the boat. They're all too worried about their income and worried about their social status and having their face on television. And so they just bowed and crumpled and decided to toe the party line under threat of being held accountable for their actions under the silly words written on the silly piece of paper by the silly politician who called their bluff. And I say who called their bluff because really it's all one big bluff, isn't it? The entire system is fiction, and that's all politicians have been doing right since the system was founded, is calling out bluff. They've trained people to believe they don't have any power. They've trained people to believe that government are their rulers. But really, it's just one big bluff, folks. As was said by someone, I can't remember who, but someone once said that if you assume a position of authority, then people will soon hand their authority to you. And that's what's been done, folks. People simply assumed the position of power, and we willingly gave ours away. And the state of the world is the obvious result of doing so. And look, with everything that I say on these shows, there are people out there who probably perceive that I'm just someone who's anti-government. And that's not really true, folks. I mean, yes, I would like to see self-governance in the world, but I think we have an awful long way to go to get back to that point. We'd have to re-educate an entire generation of people to do so. So in our current position, we do need some sort of governance. We need something there to manage our infrastructure and to manage the transition back to a state of self-empowerment for the people. And that mechanism could be called government. So it isn't that I'm against government. What the issue is that I'm pro-life. That's the thing, because the governments that we have in place are anti-life. They are anti-everything it means to be a creative human being here to express themselves artistically. They are against everything it means to be in a state of abundance. They are against everything it means to be free. What our governments are about is control and destruction of our environment. And that is simply not acceptable because that is not what we employ government to do. That's my problem, folks, is that the people of society have forgotten that government are their employees. They are not there to make rules by which they provide themselves with the means to destroy the world while enslaving the population. That's not what we employ them to do. They are there to manage our infrastructure for us. We don't employ them to create wars. We don't employ them to bomb other countries. We don't employ them to create a fake war on terror and go about exterminating entire nations in order to support this farce. We don't employ them for any of these things, folks. Our current governments are anti-life, and that is why I speak out against them. I speak out against them because they're populated by psychopaths. Only a psychopath would order drone strikes of countries. Only a psychopath would keep somewhere like Guantanamo Bay open. Only a psychopath would keep 68 people who were cleared for release years ago, remaining in incarceration and refusing to release them into anything other than another detainment facility in another nation. Only a psychopath would carpet bomb a country. Only a psychopath would order the use of depleted uranium against a foreign country. And only a psychopath such as David Cameron would suggest that anybody who speaks out against war is an extremist and that anybody who questions the government line is a threat to world peace. These people are psychopaths, folks, and it's about time we stood up and prevented them from destroying the planet the way they seem so hell-bent on doing. And as I keep saying, folks, we can do this via non-violent means. We have everything we need to remove these people from power and to change the direction the world is going. All we have to do is step into our hearts. That's really it. All you've got to do is stand up and speak your truth, folks. If enough people stand up and speak their truth in a loud and eloquent enough manner, then these people have nowhere to go. You know, it's when we start creating violence and riots and all this sort of stuff that it just illustrates their point. It gives them every excuse they need to march out militarized police and roll out martial law. That's all they need. All they need to do is convince the TV drones that society is out of control and that it's all the fault of something like ISIS, and suddenly people start looking at their neighbors with suspicion and they start supporting the police in every crackdown and lockdown and every infringement of human rights that they start perpetrating. We've seen it before in countless dictatorships around the world. The fearful few are the ones who allow the defenders of freedom to get locked up and incarcerated and put in jail, because the fearful few are all the system needs to keep the wheels turning and to keep the mechanism turning. They only need a few people to run the system, and they want people who are in fear of authority, who will never stand up against the system. And so they'll push and they'll push and they'll push, and they'll eliminate everybody who stands up violently, and they'll keep those that remain cowering in fear as their little pets that can run the system. But if the whole world stands up, if there's nobody left cowering in fear and everybody stands up to do what is right, then the system falls apart in an instant. That's it, folks. If everybody stands up and everybody speaks their truth, then the system has nowhere to go because it stands exposed, exposed bare for all to see. And the system itself has provided us with all of the ammunition and all the evidence we have ever needed in order to illustrate our point to people, in order to point out the obvious to people. It's all right there. It's all in people's faces. Everything we've been saying for the last 10 or 20 years that we've been warning people against, it's all right there in their faces now. So people can see it. All they need is a doorway, a way out, something that will empower them into action. And for me, it's the threat of the system itself. That's what empowers me into action. The threat of what this system is becoming, and my love for life, my love for people, my desire to embrace the fullness of human potential. This is what keeps me going, because I can see the potential that we've got, and it is so magnificent what we could do. And there is such a small group of people that are controlling things. Even if you put the police into the equation, folks, even if you put the police on the side of the bad guys and realize that these guys are just programmed, so try not to think of them as bad, they're just morons who are programmed. But even if you combine all of the police and all of the politicians and all of the ruling elite together, it's still literally a handful of people compared to the weight of all of humanity. All we have to do is decide to stand up and make our voices heard, and we can make a difference. And it's true, folks. That's all we have to do. One voice can make a difference, because when one voice stands up and it inspires another voice, then pretty soon you've got millions upon millions and then billions of voices all standing up. And when that happens, then there's nothing that this system can do. And we have everything we have ever needed for this opportunity right now, folks. We have a golden opportunity for human freedom right at our fingertips, more than we've ever had in the history of the world. All we have to do is stand up and make our voices heard. And you don't need to make YouTube clips or do radio broadcasts or what I'm doing. All you got to do is make your voice heard in your local community. Make your voice heard when you're speaking at the dinner table. Don't be politically correct in your actions. Make your voice heard. Speak your truth. Speak your truth at the local gatherings if you go to the school to pick up your children. Teach your children to speak the truth as well. I've got a friend whose children at school were asked certain political questions, like, what do the politicians do in Parliament House? And one of the children stood up and said, they get together and they tell lies and they concoct schemes on how to steal the wealth of the nation. And the teacher was horrified and contacted the parents and said, this answer that your child gave was unacceptable. And the parents said, are you telling me that the politicians don't lie? And the teacher said, no, of course they lie. He said, do you believe that they aren't concocting schemes by which they can steal the wealth of the nation? And the teacher said, no, I think they are. He said, well, my child told the truth. What's the problem with that? And the teacher didn't know what to say. And that's the thing, folks. All you've got to do is speak the truth. And don't be politically correct in what you do. Just speak the truth. And the amount of difference that can make is phenomenal. If everybody starts doing this everywhere you go, speak the truth, then people will soon be shocked into wakefulness, and they'll soon be inspired to speak the truth themselves. And it works, folks. I've found that it works. The people that I know often just speak the truth to people. Now, everywhere I've gone around the world, the people that I've met have taken up the fight and they've gone out speaking the truth. And I know people that have made an enormous difference by doing so. I know I've made an enormous difference by doing so, just because of the amount of letters that I receive from people. I know that there are many people who view the world in a different way now, who view the information, the negative information, as empowering information, because they know how to process it now. Because it's all just light, isn't it? It's all about processing light. And that's the failure of most people, is that they don't know how to process light. They view negative information as being negative. They don't understand that it is their failure to process the information and their default application of negative feelings to the information that is the problem. I can look at negative information and I view it as incredibly empowering because now I can see a problem. So now I can start working towards the solutions for that problem. Because every problem that I see provides me with an opportunity to heal that problem. That's why I have no worries at all in looking at the problems, because I think we need to do so. It's our failure to acknowledge the problems that we face as a society and as a species and a race as a whole that has allowed all of these situations to continue. You know, this New Age concept that, oh, if I look at that, you're going to make my life negative and that's not part of my reality. Well, yes, it is part of your reality, and the reason it exists in reality and is a part of a problem for the entire planet is because of your conscious choice to ignore it and to claim that it isn't part of your reality. That's what perpetuates the problem. I tell you, folks, the New Age movement really has an awful lot to answer for when we look at this global situation. Because the New Age movement has alone kept millions upon millions of people locked into a state of spiritual narcissism and locked into a state of utter inaction, which has allowed the world to deteriorate to the state that we now see. And this is a great shame, folks, because many New Age people are good people. And in normal circumstances, these are people who would have been very active in speaking out against this system and would have been very active in making change in their community. The problem is that many of them still believe they are active in making change via their inaction. They believe that if they simply meditate and focus on what is good all the time, then they're going to bring about positive change. But really, that's not the way to do it. You have to participate in the world in which you live. And it's their failure to participate that's creating the problem. And it is truly a great shame because, as I said, many of them are good-hearted people and they are people we very much need to stand up and make their voices heard, because many of them have very deep spiritual understandings, and were they to apply these understandings to the physical world, they could make a real difference. But look, we're getting very close to the end of the show here, ladies and gentlemen. So next time you hear from me, it's going to be 2015. And 2015 is, I hope, going to be a year of change. I've got some big plans with the Full Circle Project in 2015. There's also some people I will be having some meetings with over the next couple of weeks, which I believe may provide me with some new insights as well. There has really been some remarkable people come into my life in the past few months, folks, and I've got a couple of meetings over the New Year period, which could prove to be quite interesting, so I will most certainly keep you posted and give you updates on that. But I think we are headed for a tumultuous year. I think it's a year that we can bring about positive change, but I don't think it's going to be an easy task to do this. I think we are heading for many ups and downs in the next 12 months, folks, and it's important that people maintain their energy levels through what we are about to face. I really think there is some really significant changes to come about in the next 12 months, and we can still go either direction. And don't think that just because I'm positive about what is possible, that it's just going to happen by default. It does require the participation of the people. Even the Full Circle Project requires the participation of the people. I'm not going to be able to do anything without the help of the people out there. And any plans that I do have are simply plans. They're nothing that can work without people getting involved themselves. And that's what I'm hoping to inspire within the minds of people over the next 12 months. Indeed, that's what I've been hoping to inspire within the minds of people ever since commencing this show. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time now. Thank you to anybody who's ever helped with the website. I really hate asking for donations, but I certainly could do with some. And again, thank you to anybody who has contributed in the past. But that is it for me, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In La Cache.